Yes, with that project, the people involved in that basically were the ABC from a programming point of view, and engineering point of view as well. Interesting project. PMG as it was then, and OTC, who of course were involved with the Earth Station at Carnarvon. It was an interesting time for all of us, and yeah, there were some very keen people involved in those organisations because it was an important event, and the fact that WA was going to be excluded from live coverage was disappointing to a lot of people. So that of course was the incentive to see if there was a way by which the system could be geared to allow WA viewers to see the moon land. Once there were circuits established, video circuits established between east and west, then any programming available in the east as it could would have been available immediately in the west. But at that particular time, there were no cable or link circuits between east and west. Programming available in the east just wasn't available on a live basis to viewers in the west.
Mm-hmm.
So that's without that link availability, WA would have been denied the access to live coverage of the moonwalk. We would have had the coverage the next day or whatever, however long it takes for tapes and that to be dispatched from east to west. But of course, the novelty of live coverage was the thing that was the big incentive for the people involved.
So the moonwalk was actually the first live broadcast seen from outside of Western Australia, I gather.
Yeah, well, prior to the moonwalk, there had been other international programming which involved the OTC Earth Station at Carnarvon, but that was more experimental type broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't necessarily involve transmission in WA to that programming instantaneously. That was more spot-to-spot type things. So this one was certainly the first exercise of that type. And the fact that it all hinged, of course, on the fact that OTC in Carnarvon did have access one way or another to the actual moonwalk program, and it was that was point number one. And point number two was how to achieve a video circuit from Carnarvon to Perth so that the program could be fed into the ABC network. It was also shared with the commercials, and that was probably the real novelty, because PMG was able to reverse their coaxial cable feed from Perth heading north. They were able temporarily to reverse the direction of that cable to enable the program to be transferred from Carnarvon to Perth. And once in Perth, of course, then with following standards conversion, because it was a 525 line signal that was accessed, and from Perth that was able to be fed then into the normal transmission circuits heading out from Perth, together with the commercials in Perth.
But once you got the 525 line TV to Perth, how did you convert it? There weren't electronic standard converters available then, were there?
No, not at the time. So that was a fairly basic sort of a system. It was just a case of feeding the 525 signal onto a monitor that was able to give a stable picture with 525 lines. And then just using a little Vidicon camera, taking pictures of the monitor face. So there you have a conversion by a pretty basic sort of a system, and along with to cut down on flicker rates, which would normally occur, a high persistence screen and a few equalizers and things, meant that the 625 signal was pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
From memory, there was probably a slight amount of flicker from the so-called standards conversion, but it was quite usable. Pretty elementary, pretty elementary system. But I mean, the obvious one. I mean, that's you know, long before the sophisticated systems of standards conversion, that did the job.
So what was your position in the ABC in 1969?
I think at that time I was probably senior engineer TV. We had a couple of engineers in Perth, and at that stage the ABC had also taken over the running of the technical side of radio. So we had a couple of engineers, and I think I was in charge of the TV technical operation at the time.
So what was your role in getting the television from Carnarvon?
Well, a couple of us, in principle, Mike Altria, one of our supervising technicians, and myself, we liaised with PNG and OTC and NASA with the idea of possibly getting this live coverage of the moonwalk. So, and we were also in charge of the technical operation of TV in Perth. And at that time, all the operational staff, that's ABC staff involved in TV, they all belonged to our, at the time, engineering department. Of course, things have changed dramatically since then. So we had control of the staff and the facilities ABC-wise. We then made the contacts with the other bodies outside, the OTC, PMG, all very cooperative people, and NASA, because it was quite a novel concept to see if we could achieve this live coverage. All hinged on the fact of was live coverage possible or not. And the other parties were very keen to see this done. I think probably because of the novelty of the situation, for one thing, and of course the importance of the event.
Yeah. So where were you on the day of the moonwalk?
Of the moonwalk, I was at OTC in Carnarvon. There were a few of us there, and just depending on what was happening at various times, we spent time at OTC. There was quite a level of security there, because of course the role of OTC in the actual landing and quite apart from programming, OTC played their tracking and telemetry and what have you, other control system. So they were obviously that was their number one priority. So we being so-called program types at the time, we didn't have access, in fact, to the OTC buildings, and we set up a shift arrangement over a 24-hour sort of period where we camped outside the OTC control centre, and ABC people took up manning this, what would we call it, our command post, just keeping a finger on proceedings as things move forward.
So did you have an outside broadcast van up there, or how did the signal come from OTC?
We didn't have our main outside broadcast van up there, but we had other vehicles. We had Lynx repeater vehicles and a few of those sort of things which were engaged on the Lynx work, some cameras as well. In other words, it was all makeshift. It was all makeshift. So we had I can't even remember how many people, probably three or four people up there, and of course people down in Perth at the other end of the system.
Yeah.
And then our contacts through with PNG, OTC and NASA.
So your microwave signal from OTC would have gone down to the Carnarvon telephone exchange, I guess?
Yes, it would have, yeah. Yeah, the signal itself, the main reason for the link, well, initially we weren't too sure in Carnarvon whether or not we would be able to get the signal, the program signal from OTC, or whether or not the NASA station just up the road, just up the range, they had access to program as well, but that was on a different sort of a system altogether. And we weren't sure until very late in the piece whether or not we were going to get the signal from either NASA or OTC. Now, the signal from NASA would, in point of fact, not have been usable. It would have been probably a 10-frame-a-second signal or something of that sort. and we wouldn't have been able to do much with that at all. It was just the fact that then OTC, mind you, this was of course a very secondary role for OTC, because of their main role of course was in their NASA commitments to do with control of satellites and, you know, various aspects of the moon landing itself. The fact that they were able to pick up a television signal from somewhere of the required program, I mean, they were interested in it for sure, but that just had to fit in with their other commitments. And fortunately, it did fit in. Now, our link, so because of this possibility of maybe having to use a NASA signal, which we didn't do, but for that possibility, we had microwave links set up from NASA to OTC and from OTC to other places, including a link from OTC to a hall in the city there somewhere, so the local residents in Carnarvon, if they wish, could also see this program.
I gather quite a few took up the opportunity.
Yeah, we understand there was quite a large number of people looking. From memory again, I think it might have only been one or two small monochrome picture monitors, so it would have been a pretty small picture, but again, the novelty of the event, I think, overcame, you know, a lot of the difficulties,
yeah,
in size and numbers and so on, and the people were pleased to be part of the exercise and actually see what happened as it happened.
Now, I gather that at the point, Carnarvon didn't even have their own television service. They wouldn't have until the coax was commissioned.
I think Carnarvon had their own transmitter, but that's why this cable, the PNG service of the cable from Perth up to Carnarvon, that was in the process. It might have already been commissioned, I don't recall exactly. But the purpose of that cable was to feed the local television transmitter. But because that cable had been disturbed, the transmitter, the national transmitter in Carnarvon, would not have been able to transmit the program anyway. It may not have been scheduled. I mean, Carnarvon television transmission, I don't recall exactly when it came into service, but it was round about that time. But say this monitoring facility in the local hall was a substitute for that, just to provide the opportunity locally if people were interested, and it seems that people were interested. Oh, it was exciting, one and all, and of course it's funny with these things because they don't last very long, but, you know, with the planning and what have you, it's well, programming, you know, it's always difficult to put a value on programming, you know, and it doesn't always relate to the duration of the program, more related to what the program was thought. Well, I mean, men landing on the moon, you know, that doesn't happen often. I think so. Yeah, it was the novelty of it, I think, and the you know, the attraction of that type of event, you know, a one-off sort of thing. So that's why we're so pleased that it was able to succeed, and that's, I think, why the other organisations and so on were very keen to participate in it and do what they could to achieve it. And it was, you know, it was very fortunate that it came together one way and another and did achieve the purpose. Of course, it's thinking back a fair while, and when we visit, my wife and I visit Carnarvon reasonably often, whilst caravanning around the place, it certainly brings back memories to visit Brown Range, and you know, some of the facilities there are still there, although not operational at the time.
Yeah.
I understand that there's some procedures to establish a museum of some sort up at Brown Range at the old OTC setup. But to see the facilities is quite nostalgic, really, to see, having seen them when they were all pretty well brand new, and then to see them now where they're no longer used, it's almost like a whole, it's a sort of like a lifetime span.
This interview with Alan Hullett, ABC Television Senior Engineer in Perth, was recorded by Colin McKellar on the 8th of May, 2009.